What would it look like if all the nations and cultures and races of the world were united? We lived together in peace, love, and harmony. That's kind of hard to imagine nowadays, isn't it? Today we are facing great divisions. Just think about the racially motivated mass shootings, the murder trial of George Floyd, and the countless victims just like him. In Canada, we are seeing dramatic increases of racism, especially towards Asian Canadians. One study done by the Chinese National Council, Toronto's chapter, they did a study looking at these instances. And here's a picture of the breakdown across Canada. And unfortunately, Asian Canadians have been verbally and physically abused, even coughed on and spit on. And this is not a new thing that has sprung up from the pandemic. It is, unfortunately, part of the Canadian experience for many people of color and Indigenous peoples. Mosaic House Church, the church we are part of, we are a multicultural community, and it's wonderful. And I reached out to some of our family to share their experiences. One person said this when she was a child. She says this: "My lunches were usually leftover food that my parents cooked the night before, and people would act disgusted because it looked and smelled different and was something unusual from the local Caucasian palate, like seafood or different parts of animals. And it actually affected my lunchtime eating habits while in school. I would just skip lunch or just eat more socially acceptable snacks because I was embarrassed." And these kind of instances of embarrassment and shame kind of make people of color believe the lie that white is right, that whiteness is next to godliness. That is the right way of doing things, the more cool and acceptable way. At the same time, they also have reminders that they will never reach that white standard. And many people I talk to at Mosaic House, they experience people yelling at them racial slurs, even in Edmonton, even recently. One recent example is someone from the Mosaic House family. They were in the grocery store shopping, and when another shopper saw this person, the shopper jumped back, put her coat over her mouth, and kind of ran away in fear, as if this person from a Mosaic House family was dangerous, as a threat, or diseased. And unfortunately, this racist attitude is not just in the world, but it's in the church as well. The church that we are part of, the Christian Reformed Church of North America, we have condemned racism and something called kinism, the idea that all nations should be separated in their own kind of nation or state, and it kind of upholds white supremacy. However, there are churches in the CRC and in the church which still espouse or believe these evil ideas. One example is that there's a church in Michigan which left the CRC 2 years ago, and now they are on the list, or they're listed as a hate organization and a white nationalist group. And the CRC, I'm very thankful, they have a lot of great ministries that fight towards racial reconciliation, towards justice. However, some of these staff members of these organizations were recently targets of bullying, threats, sexist, racist comments, even violent threats. And I was told that law enforcement had to get involved. As you can see, this picture, the hope of racial unity seems far in the distance. We're doing a series right now called In His Power. We're looking at the book of Acts and looking at the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is one with God, whom Jesus sent to us to live in and among us. And He is a guarantee of the eternal life to come. In Him we have hope of a life after death. And also He gives us empowerment, empowers us for the life now. And today we're going to look at the Holy Spirit's power of racial reconciliation. If you have your sermon notes, you can download them on the website here. You can write this down. At the core of God's heart is reconciliation, restoring the relationships between God and humanity, and also between all peoples. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Galatians 3:28, which says, "Therefore there is neither male or female, slave or free, rich or poor, Jew or Gentile, for all are one, all are united in Christ." And whether you are a seeker, someone who's not sure yet about this Jesus thing, one who believes in Jesus, a worker or a multiplier, I hope that you too share this desire for racial reconciliation, for love between the nations. And if you don't, or you just don't care, I pray that God through His Holy Spirit will speak to you today. And we're going to look at and turn to a turning point of racial reconciliation in scriptures in the story of Acts 2. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me. Acts chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 1 all the way to verse 13. This is the word of the Lord. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, as the believers of Jesus. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues or other languages as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus in Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, our hearts are heavy in the face of all this sadness, all this tension, all this frustration in this unreconciled world. I want to thank you for this picture in Acts where all nations come together and are touched by Holy Spirit. Thank you that you have the power to reconcile all peoples. Help us believe that power. Help us to see it in your word. Guide us, Lord, and comfort our hearts. And Lord, may you, Holy Spirit, use my small words for your great glory. We pray that in Jesus' holy name, amen. Here's what I believe God wants us to note today, and you can write this in your notes. The Holy Spirit is reconciling all peoples to himself and to each other. Even though the situation we're in looks dark, looks even hopeless, God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is actively bringing about racial reconciliation. This is his plan since the beginning of time. This was a plan when Jesus came down to earth. It was his plan in Acts 2 when he sent the Holy Spirit, and it is his plan today. And in Acts 2, we see this picture of racial reconciliation, and we see the power that racial reconciliation has to change people. And scripture tells us that reconciliation that Jesus brings between God and humanity is inseparable from reconciliation between peoples, humans and peoples together. And in fact, the reconciliation that Jesus brings between God and humanity empowers us and enables us to be reconciled with each other. And today we're just going to look at those two points based on that theme and goal. One, the Holy Spirit is reconciling all peoples, all nations to himself. And then two, the Holy Spirit is reconciling all peoples to each other. So just look at the first point. The Holy Spirit is reconciling all peoples to himself. We see in Acts 2, it says in verse 1, the day of Pentecost came. And in the Jewish tradition, there were three main festivals in which all Jews, no matter where they were, had to come back to Jerusalem. And that's why there's so many Jews from all around the world there. And in the midst of this day of Pentecost, the disciples of Jesus are meeting, and the scripture says, in one place. And that word, one place, is actually really beautiful. It also means they're met in one mind, one accord. They had just this great, great unity. Then all of a sudden, we see here there's this violent, violent wind. And I guess this sound was like an earthquake filled there, and there's this fire appeared. And in scripture, these images kind of point to the presence of God. God himself was coming into this place. Ooh. And all of a sudden, this fire separated on all the people in the wherever they were. Could have been, people think it's the upper room. And there's estimates of about 120 people were here. And this fire went on everyone. And in this place, there was men, women, old people, elderly, young people. Everybody was there. And the Holy Spirit fell on everybody indiscriminately. All people. The only thing that was missing in this room was different ethnicities, different races. At the time, most believers, Jesus, almost all of them were just Jewish people. And that's where the tongues come in, the different languages. After Peter, he explains what's happening. In Acts chapter 2, verse 17, he says, in the last days, God says, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And all people is included the nations of the world. And the Jews who were coming from all around the world came to the place where they saw this crazy thing happening. And they're like, they were shocked to hear all the people speaking in the gospel, the good news of Jesus, in their own language. And Acts says, in verse 5, God brings Jews from every nation under the heaven. Now, not all the nations were known at the time, but it's kind of symbolically saying that the Holy Spirit was opening up the good news to every nation under heaven, and he lists all these nations. And actually, here's a graphic in which shows all the nations listed in Acts 2. And this was the official, if you write this in notes, beginning of the ministry of the good news of Jesus reaching beyond the Jewish peoples. And racial reconciliation was God's plan from the start. If you look at the whole story of the scripture, we see that because the first humans sinned or turned away or rebelled against God, humanity and God became separated. There was a chasm between us. And as a result, violence and war and hatred between each other, all humans, grew as well. So God, in this big mess, chose a people from all the nations named Israel for a special mission to show the world God's love, what it means to follow God. And he chose Israel not because they were a superior race, but as Deuteronomy 7:7 says, the Lord did not set his affection on you and chose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest. God chose them because they were the weakest, the least, to show how great and powerful he was. And through Israel, God eventually sent his son, Jesus, to show us what it looks like, what it means to live a fully reconciled life. A life fully reconciled to God, a life which fulfills the two greatest commands, to love God and to love your neighbor. And on Good Friday, Jesus died on the cross for our sins, for our forgiveness, to deliver us from sin and death in order to reconcile us back to God. And on Easter Sunday, Jesus also rose from the dead, defeating death, defeating the power of darkness, which always keeps us separated. And then commanded his disciples to go and make disciples of all nations, not just the Jewish people, all nations now. And Acts 1:8, he kind of repeats his command, telling his disciples in verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and then Judea, a little growing, and then Samaria, kind of opening up the mission area, and then to the ends of the earth. And that's what the Holy Spirit came to do, to bring reconciliation to all nations, to the ends of the earth. And we have hope now that the Holy Spirit is reconciling all peoples to himself and to each other. And let's look at the second point now. Now we know that how the Holy Spirit Jesus reconciles us to God. The Holy Spirit, number two, is also reconciling all peoples to each other. Now, theologians argue that Acts 2 is a reversal of a story of the Bible in Genesis 11 called the Tower of Babel or Babel. you haven't read that story, check it out in Genesis 11. Basically, humanity, after the big flood, they were kind of, oh, what do we do now? They kind of came together and kind of built this big tower to reach God. And they said, to make a name for ourselves, because we are pretty cool. And God came down and said, this is not what I wanted you to do. And he separated the peoples into different languages and nations. And you can write this down in your notes. While Babel separated all nations under heaven, Pentecost, Acts 2, reconciled all nations under heaven. Now, we don't have the time to get into things now, but the unity of humanity in the Tower of Babel seems to be characterized by pride and violence. It wasn't all these people coming, oh yeah, let's get together. But typically what happens, the powerful take advantage of the weak. And there is some suggestion, some things to believe, not 100%, but slaves were doing a lot of the work to build this Tower of Babel. And that's what human unity usually, unfortunately, is. It's at the expense of others. There's a theme in scripture called just empire. These nations which kind of they try to become as powerful as possible. And empire, they always have a version of unity and reconciliation, which is very different than the Holy Spirit's version. Earthly unity, earthly reconciliation is one which tries to reach the heights of God, to become like God without God's power. And it gathers power usually by hurting others and hurting creation. All nations of the world, the great ones, are typically like that. Even Canada. We are a great nation. I love being here, but we are powerful because, for one thing, we won at the world wars. We had to hurt others to preserve our freedom. And also we are powerful now because of the cultural genocide of the first peoples in this land, the indigenous peoples. And if you look at the history even more, we are great because of the exclusionary racist policies against people of color, for instance, such as the Chinese Exclusion Act of 1923. Miroslav Volf, a Croatian theologian, says this, in every story of inclusion, Canada's a great inclusive country, great. In every story of inclusion, there's also a shadow story of exclusion. And exclusion is a part of the Canadian story. And things are bubbling over today because these shadow stories are appearing, are being known. And unfortunately, the church has succumbed to the way of empire and the way of exclusion instead of God's way, instead of the Holy Spirit's way. And we see this even in the scripture. Even though Acts 2 was a picture of racial reconciliation, the church still kind of messed up. Peter, who's the leader at the time, said a sermon after this happened. He didn't quite get what racial reconciliation meant. He made some mistakes. There was this strong version of kinism still in Judaism. And the church had to figure out, it took them a while to figure out what racial reconciliation actually means. And this gives me some comfort, even when the church kind of fails today. But the hope we have, the hope we find and know is that the Holy Spirit is reconciling all peoples to himself and to each other, even in spite of us, even when we fail, we have hope the Holy Spirit is active. And his unity, his reconciliation, is very different than the way of empire and the world. You can write this in your notes. Jesus came to bring reconciliation, not through force or domination, but through sacrifice and love. And we see a picture of Jesus' reconciliation in 2 Corinthians, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, Chapter 5, verse 17 to 19. If you have time, go back and read the whole chapter. It's wonderful. Verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us now the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting the people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. At the core of God's heart again is reconciliation between us and God and between each other. And there's so much to unpack here. Let me just give you a tiny glimpse of what's going on and how it relates to Acts 2, okay? Now, the Jews believed during the time of Jesus, there was two ages. There was this present age, the age we live in, kind of filled with brokenness and pain and not so good stuff. And then there was the age to come, or the messianic age, when the Savior of the world would come and bring about God's kingdom, God's power, and redeem this world. And Christians believe that Jesus came as the Messiah, the King of the world. And if you look, I can show the picture, these two worlds come together. And this messianic age would be the time where true reconciliation comes between God and humanity, between each other. And when Jesus came, he brought about this new age. However, he left. And he left his Holy Spirit, sent his Holy Spirit to be with us until we wait for Jesus to come back again to set all things right, to bring true reconciliation. And now we are in this in-between time, known as the time of the Spirit. God's reconciliation is here, but it is not here fully yet. And a way to understand it is actually through the Feast of Pentecost. During the Feast of Pentecost, it was almost harvest time. And farmers go out in the field and see the harvest. It's almost ready, not quite ready, but there was a few heads of grain which are ripe. Wow. And they would take these ripe grains and they would bring it to the temple to sacrifice to God as a statement of faith, saying, Lord, you are the provider of our needs and the harvest. And these first fruits, they were called, they represented that the harvest was here. Like, you can see it and taste it, but it wasn't fully here yet. The rest of the harvest wasn't here yet. And it's the same thing with the kingdom of God. It's almost like the first fruits. God's kingdom, the messianic age, is here, but it's not fully here yet. Well, a quick example of a contemporary way of looking things is, think of your favorite restaurant. Unfortunately, we can't go to restaurants right now, but when you go to your favorite restaurant, typically you order a nice, beautiful meal, and if you're maybe have extra money, you order an appetizer. Think of your favorite appetizer. I just found this amazing one. They're called Thai samosas. Oh my goodness, I can't get enough of them. They're amazing. And when you're waiting for your food, your appetizer comes. And you've tasted it, it's so good. Oh yeah. And your meal, your food is here, the meal is here, but it's not fully here yet. And in a similar way, we are in this kind of appetizer time. The Holy Spirit is kind of like our appetizer, giving us strength and what we need. And the Bible actually is explicit. They calls Jesus is the first fruits of creation. He's the one who brings us reconciliation, brings us the kingdom of God here and now. And the Bible says a huge important part of reconciliation in God's kingdom is racial reconciliation. We see a picture of God's kingdom to come. When all things are set right in Revelation 7 verse, starting in verse 9, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, 7 verse 9 to 10, it says here that, after I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, language, standing before the throne, before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hand, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our Lord, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." This is a picture of what is to come. And what's beautiful is that that reality is here through the Holy Spirit. And the Bible also says, you can write this down, you know, Jesus is the first fruits, but also the church is also called to be the first fruits. We are the people who anticipate and participate in the new age and are part of God's ministry of reconciliation. Though it is not fully here yet, the new creation is here. The old is past, but not fully yet. The church is supposed to be the place where we taste and see the goodness of God, the kingdom of God to come. Someone from Mosaic House was kind of talking to me about multicultural communities. And she said these words that in those communities, I feel a glimpse of heaven. I get to see what heaven on earth can look like. However, as we know, this is not easy. It's in-between time is hard, and that's why we need to rely on the Holy Spirit during this in-between time. The Holy Spirit is reconciling all peoples to himself and to each other. And thankfully, Mosaic House, the church we are a multicultural community, and by God's grace, by his Holy Spirit, he is making us a place, a community which bears witness, which is an appetizer to the picture that is to come in Revelation 7. Personally, I've always felt different than the rest of society. I felt like an other. And when I first came to Mosaic House, there was a sense of peace and belonging I've never really felt anywhere else. Someone else in Mosaic House said these words: "I feel most encouraged when I experience the other cultures in our church. I love hearing the other languages, eating the cultural foods, and learning about the customs of other cultures. Part of it is because I feel like we are all united in our experience of being othered, of being different. And in Christ, there's belonging and hope. And in the way of Jesus, through love, through sacrifice, disciples of Jesus are called to be ministers of reconciliation to the whole world. And like the story in Acts 2, people will be drawn to this reconciliation. There's power in this racial reconciliation found in Christ. At the end of Acts 2, after this event happened, Peter tells a sermon, and it says about 3,000 people came to believe the good news of Jesus. 2,000 people moved from seeker to believer. And then they were sent back home to their own homes to become workers and multipliers of the kingdom of God. And today we are the result of that fruit. Nations all coming together in Jesus' name. The Holy Spirit is reconciling all peoples to himself and to each other. Let me just end with two quick applications. The first one is, you can write this in your notes, trust that the Holy Spirit is reconciling all peoples to himself. It's hard when it feels hopeless, when you feel even unsafe leaving your home. I encourage you to trust the Holy Spirit is at work. Jesus made you who you are. He loves you. He loves your culture. He adopted you into his family, and he wants to celebrate the culture he has given to you. And he wants to show the world what it looks like when all cultures come together in his name. Trust the Holy Spirit is working. He loves you, and he wants you to feel that you belong, that you are loved. And the second one is seek out where the Holy Spirit is reconciling peoples to each other. I encourage you to keep learning about these issues, keep reading the scriptures which talk all about racial reconciliation in Christ. And also, maybe as a house church or individually, yeah, just pray and discern where the Holy Spirit is leading you in his mission of ministry of reconciliation. In your notes, I've added two resources. One is from the Christian Reformed Church. Another one is a podcast I've been listening to from the Christian Reformed Church called the Antioch Podcast. I pray that you would just seek out where the Holy Spirit is moving. In Christ, the old is past. The new has come. The new is here in Jesus. And he is calling all of us to enter into his ministry of reconciliation. For Lord, you, the Holy Spirit, are reconciling all peoples to himself and to each other. So let us join in what the Holy Spirit is doing in his power and love. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your promise that you are here with us, that your power is enough even to heal racial division. And as we anticipate and look towards this vision that is to come of racial reconciliation in you, Jesus, help us to have the energy and strength by your Holy Spirit to work towards it now. Help us, Lord, to be a good witness of your love and faithfulness. Forgive us when we fall short. Thank you for your grace and love, which calls each of us in our own cultural beings to be part of your family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.